Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Cash or card? In some businesses across the country, that question no longer applies. And you may have noticed your local coffee shop or ice cream spot going cashless recently. A 2017 survey by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, or the FDIC, found that roughly 8.4 million U.S. households don't have a bank account, which means that when you're a business that goes cashless, it's kind of like telling some Americans, you're not welcome here. Last week, here in New York City, Councilmember Richie J. Torres proposed legislation that would fine cashless establishments. A similar bill is currently under review by the Washington, D.C. City Council, and New Jersey lawmakers are considering a statewide cashless ban. Malo Andre Hudson is an associate professor at Columbia University and director of the Urban Community and Health Equity Lab, and I asked him about the growing trend of businesses that say no to cash.
This has become very common. I also have experienced this in New York City and elsewhere. I think as you see new businesses opening up, we are moving towards a more cashless society. And many have just decided that we are not going to take cash at all and just focus on credit or debit cards.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because here in New York, we mentioned that Councilmember Richie Torres is proposing legislation that tells them they have to accept cash. And last week, he told the website Grub Street that there is, quote, an insidious racism that underlies a cashless business model. And he added that cashless businesses disempower communities of color. Help us understand what Torres is talking about, please.
Well, what Councilmember Torres is really talking about is the millions of Americans that are unbanked or underbanked. These are people who either don't trust banks, don't have enough money to open a bank account, have privacy concerns, or really are concerned about the fees that they would have to pay. And so they would rather use cash. And so when you shift to a system that says we are cashless only, you're basically assuming that people have access to a financial institution that can provide them with a credit card, a debit card, or some type of plastic in order to carry out that transaction.
I'd love to break those down a little bit more, those issues that you just brought out, because I think a lot of folks think most of us, if not all of us, are paying with Apple Pay or with our phones or with debit cards. But you mentioned a couple of issues that the unbanked really deal with, particularly poor communities of color. Privacy. What do you mean by privacy?
Well, oftentimes you have to show your documentation, whether you are, your financial records or your identity and so forth. And some people don't feel comfortable doing that. Some people are concerned about all the hacks and the data breaches that have occurred, and they would rather operate from just having cash. You see that among immigrant communities, communities of color, people who just have either had bad experiences with financial institutions. It wasn't that long ago that we just had our financial crisis where people were paying more for higher interest rates. There were all kinds of scandals with vulnerable populations being taken advantage of through predatory lending and high interest rates. And so there is a fear among people, certainly privacy concerns about sharing information or just not trusting banks altogether in terms of they'll be paying more fees, they will pay more for transaction costs. And so there is a concern there.
And I think there's also a concern along the lines of privacy, at least for me, which is these organizations, whether they be banks or small businesses or whoever, will then have all of this data on my purchasing history, which kind of makes me slightly uncomfortable. From an economic perspective, though, are there good reasons to go cashless, at least for businesses or for people?
Well, for businesses, I think they see the trend that's happening, not only in the United States, but globally. We are moving towards a cashless society. We know that technology is advancing in a sense that you have all these different platforms to pay and do transactions. And I think for the most part, many businesses think about it's more efficient, it's convenient, they're keeping up with the times. I've even seen people argue that it has to do with hygiene, and certainly the transaction of money can be quite dirty, especially in a food establishment, as well as just the fact that it reduces security risk. So if we have cash registers with cash sitting there, you have to then figure out ways to get that to the bank. You don't have to worry about people coming in and robbing you the same way. And so there are a number of concerns from the business perspective that I've heard.
But doesn't this sort of create a two-tier system of customers in some way?
Absolutely. When you're saying that we only take plastic, you are excluding those who do not have a relationship with a financial institution or people who frankly just choose to use cash for all kinds of reasons. Those are personal reasons. And I do think you are excluding people, especially low-income people or the low and middle-income populations that prefer to use cash.
Now, there is one interesting statistic. We mentioned the millions of people in the United States who are unbanked, but that number is actually going down. Are you seeing that as a positive trend for low-income communities, for low-income people of color? Is it that more people are being engaging with banks, or is it that they're just not dealing with banks at all?
You know, it's hard to say. I think the focus should be on how do we create a system that supports low to moderate income individuals so that they can have a financial institution, a banking account or a savings account that's safe and secure, that has low transactional cost and allows people who of less means to be able to make it in today's society. And I think that's the bigger focus we should be thinking about is how do we focus on the unbanked and the underbanked and help them feel like they're not marginalized in society or excluded, but in fact included.
A lot of businesses that go into gentrifying neighborhoods might already be excluding a lot of the current residents who tend to be low income through their prices, regardless of whether they accept cash or not. Should high prices in general be more of a focus than just this issue of being cashless?
Well, I think when we look at the high prices and certainly the new businesses that are moving into areas that are going through significant neighborhood change or what many might call gentrification, we have to look at who the backers are, right? We're moving away from the mom and pop shops, those that might be financed through relatives or friends, and actually looking at bigger investors now are behind the new restaurants, behind the cafes, and they expect a certain return on their investment. And so whether you're in New York City or San Francisco or Dallas, whatever the hot new place is that's opening up oftentimes has investors behind them. There's a certain feel to the place, and they are basically catering to a certain clientele.
And as far as Congressman Torres's approach, do you think we're going to see more politicians getting involved in this fight and saying no to cashless businesses?
I think it's hard to say what will happen in the future, but I think what it does is it changes the conversation. It says we are no longer just going to keep excluding these populations and actually have a conversation about how we bank or don't bank, how people have access to credit or not, and to savings accounts and so forth. So I think it may change the overall conversation about the types of businesses that are moving into the community and the relationship that they have with neighborhood residents. I think it's going to change the conversation around how we engage with populations in general, how we think about transactions, and the importance of using the technologies that are being developed to improve access for everyone and not just for those who can afford it.
Malo Andre Hudson is an associate professor at Columbia University. Malo, thanks again for joining us.
My pleasure.